This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, April 25th, 2020. The Vigil Mass of the Third Sunday of Easter by Father William Doc Holliday.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. If there was ever a day when we should think, say, live, that it's today. It is this past week when we have resumed the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass in this place, as it should be. There is no such thing. I don't want to get into it, but you've heard the term private Mass used a lot. There is really no such thing. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is an action of Christ and His Church. Yes, priests can indeed celebrate Masses individually if there's no one else providentially to celebrate with them. But at the end of the day, it's not a private thing. It is a very public thing. And to be deprived of that, which has never happened in the history of the world as it has happened now, we should praise the Lord and rejoice over our abilities to gather together and receive Him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the Eucharist. We have this tendency to think about praising the Lord in situations such as this, joyful situations in which we have been lifted up on high by the Lord. That's when we praise the Lord so fervently. It's kind of interesting to understand the words of this psalm. This is Psalm 146, 145 for those who use older versions of the Bible. Psalm 146 is our offertory psalm for this Mass. It is a psalm, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. When the psalm writer wrote this, it was not only not a joyful time for him. I think I used a double negative there. It was not a joyful time for him. It was, as a matter of fact, when life was at rock bottom. He was in exile. He could not worship in the temple. His people were enslaved. And in this situation, he says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. This is a man who has confidence in God. This is what this is all about. It was not a time of rejoicing for him, but he says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. Because he had confidence in God. Maybe not me personally, Lord, but I know what you've done in the past for my people. I've known what you've done, and I know you can and will do it again. I have confidence in you. This is why he's praising the Lord. This is why during this past month, when we were deprived of being together for the Eucharist, that we should have still been praising the Lord as best we could. Confidence in God. Confidence in Him alone to get us through times of trouble. Whether they're huge times like we're going through right now as a world, or our own individual struggles. Our own individual struggles against sins. Our own individual struggles against things from the past. To have confidence in God that He forgives us for those things. This is why we praise Him. Or should praise Him as long as we live, because of the mercies that He shows us. The psalmist says that we should have confidence in God by His praising. Then he says explicitly, put not your trust in any son of man in whom there is no help. There are some times in Scripture where things are said forcefully. For instance, put not your trust in the son of man in whom there is no help. Now, does he mean that we should never pay attention to what people say? Absolutely not. They're even pagans. There are really a lot of smart pagans out there. They are doctors, and they're probably going to get us out of this mess, medically speaking. Okay? But at the end of the day, we have to understand and appreciate the fact that, be proverbial about it, they put their pants on the same way we do. Okay? There's nothing special about it. Yeah, they've been to school a lot. They do this a lot. They know a lot of things. They're very smart. But at the end of the day, they're just people. Even the greatest of them. I'm talking about your superheroes. How about people who do nice things for nice people? The greatest of these people is of the same frail nature as each and every one of us. They may be really smart. They may have really something going on. They may be really rich, but they're just like you. Because of our sin-cursed and fallen nature, we have to understand it, when we know ourselves. Because when we know ourselves, we can apply it to other people because they're just like us. Think of all the struggles that you have. And think of your hero, your superstar. You know, I'm not talking about a celebrity. I'm talking about people who've done great things in history. So some of the saints, they're saints now because they are what? Dead. Okay? They lived a whole life of struggle, and they did it heroically. That's why they're saints now. They weren't born Saint Francis and Saint Dominic. They're saints now, after they're dead, after they've proven themselves, they've proven their confidence in God. In our fallen nature, we are not, even the best of us, are not willing or able to do good all the time. Notice I said both of those things. Because of our sin, curse, and fallen nature, we're not willing to do good all the time. Sins of omission, even sins of commission. You know, we're not willing to do good. Sometimes we're not able to do good. Example for that. If you got a president or a governor who wants to do great things, they have legislatures and Congress that will keep them from doing good things. Because why? They're not omnipotent. They don't have control over everything and everybody. They have to listen to laws and things like that within parameters. But they're not able to do the good that they want to do, even if they're the best of people. But we're not the best. Nobody is. Everybody's frail. There's all kind of reasons why we shouldn't put our trust in people, but St. Robert Bellarmine, he actually points to what the psalmist says here as the only reason that we should really not just trust anybody for have confidence in them permanently is because what verse 4 says in Psalm 146, when his breath departs, he returns to his earth, and on that very day his plans perish. It doesn't matter how great a person is. Someday, they're going to die. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. That's all there is to it. We have to appreciate that. The only one that is eternal, the only constant that we can grasp on in this world is Almighty God. And the only way we grasp on Him is through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we must put our complete confidence in Him. This is the confidence to things eternal. And it's also a confidence of the way we have to deal with things in this world. Why would anybody put their confidence in men for anything? Well, it's because of lack of faith. If you lack faith, it results in confidence in men and not God. It is unfortunate that we are enduring what we're enduring in the church and what we have endured for the past month, because the church isn't listening to passages such as this. They are not listening to the fact that they need to be confident in God and what He will do for them, what He's promised her. Before this even happened, I pointed out, for instance, you know, when it first started hitting the news, I said, read Psalm 91. God says three different times, that He will protect you from pestilence. Does that mean that you're a good Catholic, you're not going to get sick and die? No, it does not mean that at all. What it means is, if you do get sick and die, you're going to go to heaven. So we approach the whole situation as if St. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. They're both good. Actually, the dying part's better. Nobody wants to, but if we truly have confidence in God and His promises, we're good with that. We should act like it. We're not acting like it. And everybody doesn't get it. I've seen some very, very faithful people react to this situation in a questionably faithful manner. I mean, we can't be petrified to death of being around other people. And as things pan out, you start to see more and more the numbers aren't really jiving with the hype on this whole thing. Okay? And a lot of people are starting to call that. But when I see a grown man, when another man puts his hand out to shake his hand, you know, you could say that, forgive me if I don't shake hands, or if you got the rubber gloves on and the mask and everything, it's pretty indicative that you're kind of leery about this. That's fine. That's being prudent. I don't have a problem with it. If you're walking around, you don't have any of that stuff on, and somebody puts their hand out, and you look like a little child who somebody's showing them a spider. Ah, I saw that with my own eyes in that parking lot. There's something going on there. Why this abject fear? It demonstrates a lack of confidence in God. And like I said, you don't want to shake hands, don't shake hands. But, you know, let's not make the big production out of it. How do we understand this? The Lord, as Psalm says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He's not talking about people who cannot see biologically. He's talking about people who are spiritually blind. The Lord opens our eyes. He shows us that we need to have confidence in Him. He shows that He is the only one in which we should have confidence. What do we hear from the church when this all started? Just stay at home. Just stay at home and pray. That's good enough. No, it's not. Just staying at home and praying isn't enough. Confidence in God is a necessary quality of our prayers. And you're showing a lack of confidence when you close the churches, and then to tell people to pray, they're going to lack the confidence to pray correctly. The catechism says, the Roman catechism says, that is a necessary quality of prayer to be heard, is confidence in God. The scriptures say that. The catechism didn't come with it. You know, a group of guys in the 16th century didn't come up with it. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Notice that word is interjected, believing. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, not you shall receive, believing you shall receive. The catechism just stretches that out. It fleshes out a bit. And it actually does it in the context when we ask our Lord in the Lord's Prayer to deliver us from evil. If reason doesn't persuade us to have confidence in God, the examples of Scripture should. The prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us should. I mean, you cannot help to open the Bible and read two pages of it and not see where God's helping somebody out in a horrible situation. Abraham, Jacob, Lot, Joseph, Susanna, Paul. How many times St. Paul, I mean, he let St. Peter out of jail. He got St. Paul out of jail. St. Peter's all asleep on the floor, just consigning himself, and the angel comes over and kicks him. Hurry up, put on your robes, get out of here. All right? God's always there to help. We need to be confident that He will. Like I said, praying is just not a... What is praying? Praying is talking to God, right? It's a dialogue. We speak to Him through our words and our prayers. He speaks to us through the traditions of His church, through Scripture, not generally audibly. Maybe some of you are holy enough. I never hear Him talk to me. I got to rely on reading the Bible. I got to rely on what the church teaches to hear God speak. I say prayer isn't enough because talking to God just isn't enough, even if he is up in your face for that gospel passage today. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were talking to Jesus. They were having a big old discourse with Him. He even after He berates them, oh, you foolish and slow of heart to believe. What the Scriptures teach about me. And He opens it to them. They're seeing Scripture. They're hearing about it. They are talking to Jesus personally. And they still don't get it. That shows us that dialogue with Him isn't enough. When do they get it? When do they get it? In the breaking of bread. In the Eucharist. The Eucharist is what makes us see God and what brings us to the utmost of confidence in Him. That's why I say it's a travesty for the church to be telling people, just stay at home, just stay at home and pray. We see from the gospel, that's not enough. You have to be in the presence. You have to be in the breaking of bread. You have to be properly disposed to receive the sacrament. Then your eyes are open. And that's when we are happy in this world. That's when we don't let things like are going on right now make us lose sleep. We shouldn't be losing sleep. It's annoying, yeah. We shouldn't be having bad dreams and all the other things you're reading about in the paper as they continue to hype it. Verse 5 in this psalm says, happy is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Like I said, doctors are excellent. Yeah. They've saved my life before, and I mean that literally. They've saved my life, and I am very grateful to it. But at the end of the day, I have more confidence in God than doctors. Particularly, I got some family members in healthcare, and I hear some stories. So that's another story for a different day. Okay, my confidence is in God. Like I said, I use doctors, go to them all the time, unfortunately. But it's something to do. But my confidence is ultimately in God. The examples that I've been giving about, you know, demonstrating abject fear when somebody tries to shake your hand, or losing sleep over things, or being good with staying home instead of being at mass. I didn't say, because most people can't help it. But at the end of the day, you have to appreciate that they should desire. Most of them, they're cool with it. I'm good with it. Heck, it might even be better. I actually heard a story where a priest said that in a homily. Isn't this great? You can sit in your easy chair and you go get something to eat and something to drink. That's disgusting, Father. People should be weeping because they can't have the sacrament. The sacrament's what makes it happy. You can see whether or not a person has confidence in God if they really believe. Now, to ask a question, are you happy given the situation? Or are you petrified? I'm not saying not concerned. That's fine. That's prudent. You should be concerned and do everything you can to keep yourself healthy. But at the end of the day, are you petrified of this? That's a problem. Because it proves to you that you're lacking in faith. That's not, you know, don't beat yourself up. But learn more about your God. Appreciate more what he does for you. And then that confidence will be either restored or planted in the first place. Now, a concern about the future of our souls is why we're here. If you're concerned about your soul, you have to know, and if you know God and what he says about himself, you can't earn your way into heaven. You must rely on his grace and on his grace alone. The unmerited favor he shows us by opening our eyes to the truth and the confidence that we should have in him. If we just pay attention and believe what he says. We are tested every single day, not just during pandemics. We are tested every single day as to whom our confidence lies. Is your confidence in men or is your confidence in God? And when I say confidence in men, I also mean confidence in yourself. I can withstand this temptation. I can do this. I can do that. That's a confidence in a man or a woman. That's you. And it's as bad as being confident in men, plural, to do things for you. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And contrary to what we hear a lot in a whole lot of parishes, we should not be hunky-dory about being in this world. Not because I say so, because I'm a hard case, because people like Pope St. Clement I says this, and I'll leave you with this, when we think about where should we pay attention, this world or the next, this concern for our souls. Pope St. Clement I says, this world and the world to come are two enemies. We cannot therefore be friends of both, but we must decide which we will forsake and which we shall enjoy. You've got to forsake one or the other in order to enjoy one or the other. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.